How's everybody doing? Well, how have you been doing since the feast? Coping with the transition from the wonderful time that we spent together, and as Rene Messier had said in this week's editorial, benefiting from both the spiritual and the physical benefits as we drew closer to God and reached a better understanding of His plan and laws through the messages, and we drew closer to each other via the fellowship we enjoyed with one another. Yes, it was an amazing time once again, as we experience it every year. And, as we do every year, now we have returned back to our normal routine. Now we're all back home. We're all back at work. And the changeover is not easy, because we never want the feast to end. And we say that all the time. Didn't we say that in the last day? Oh, why does it have to end already? How did the time go by so fast? We don't want to leave. We want to stay here. But that is unfortunately how it is right now. And we have to keep moving on. And that's the title of my message, Moving On. We have to stay on track. We have to stay strong. And we have to be, or have to remain, focused. We have to be aware that Satan is still very active. Just like he was at the very beginning of the feast, or right before the feast as we were preparing for it, he is just as active right after, trying to bring us down in every way he can. The energy and the joy that we experienced at the feast, we don't need to let go of that. We can continue on with it. We can harness it inside. Now, we must be aware of our weaknesses that can cause us to lose our focus. We must not allow them to rule over us. Rather, we must conquer them. One such weakness can be laziness. Now, I had written an editorial on this very topic where I had said that laziness can be very addictive if we are not careful. If we let it go out of hand, it can wind us down more and more until we don't have the desire to do anything anymore, or at least to the point when we have to force ourselves somehow to get back on track. We cannot let that happen, as we all, that's all you and me, everybody, has a job to do. As two Christians, we are a part of God's church, which is a spiritual organism, and if we neglect or refuse to fulfill our individual responsibilities within the church, or if we think that we are not really part of it, or that there is no need for us to be a part of it, well, then we are in trouble, as we're probably not going to survive, especially in light of what is prophesied for the near future. Now, these are some of the things that I had noticed, you know, with certain people at the feast, and I've had those thoughts before too, and we all have those thoughts, and it is difficult at times, because laziness can be something that can affect us and could control us if we're not careful. But then it brings about other things like, you know, depression, or, you know, just feeling down, or not just having a desire to do things. But that's where we have to be careful, and that's why we have to stay focused. So what does Satan want? He wants us to be lazy. And unfruitful also, because he knows that if we give in to laziness, we will lose out. And this is not just limited to the spiritual side to it, but it can also refer to the physical. Because if we are physically lazy, chances are we will become spiritually lazy as well. Let's look at some scriptures where it talks about that in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. We read, "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son." That's productive. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. That is unproductive. And also in chapter 12 and verse 24, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Chapter 13 and verse 4, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. So what else can we do instead? Notice Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. If we are diligent, we will be productive, and we will survive. Laziness bears no fruit, and it could even be considered a sin if we are not careful. Now, if we think that laziness in itself is not a sin, it can definitely lead to sin. How serious is it then if we start to lack in our efforts? In Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, is a very familiar scripture, and it talks about the parable of the talents. And we have heard about this in several messages before. I have talked about this, but it is important scripture because it's a scripture that not many people understand in this world. They just gloss right over it, not realizing what it's really talking about. Now, this is talking about or referring to the kingdom of God and how easy it can be to miss out. Now, you probably know this, but it requires no effort to be lazy. Correct? You wake up in the morning. Yeah, I'm just going to lay down a little bit more. I don't want to get up yet. That requires no effort, right? It requires effort to actually get up out of bed. A little more so. Especially now that I'm on jet lag, it's pretty easy to wake up really early. But it's so easy not to work hard. That's also no problem, no effort. I don't feel like working today. Okay, no effort done. The problem is this is dangerous, and we shouldn't let it get that far. The lazy servant in this parable was also wicked in verse 26. And was also unprofitable in verse 30. He did not accomplish anything. One thing led to the next. We can apply this parable to any given situation in our lives, whether it be at our work. We can be lazy at our work, and the consequence could be that you get fired, right? Or can be lazy in our marriage. You know, and don't put any effort into it, and that can bring about problems. Family relationships, same idea. Child rearing. Sometimes I feel like being lazy with that one. But we have to train our children. Can't just let them go and do whatever they want, at least not all the time. But you have to be there to raise them properly. Prayers and studies, that's a big one. How often do we neglect that? It's challenging, especially for me personally. I don't like to read, but I have to force myself to do it because I have to do it. That's the thing. There's a lot of people out there that do not like to read. But it's important. We have to do it. And there's a lot of things that the Bible or that God commands in the Bible that we shouldn't do. Well, guess what? You have to do it. Tithes and offerings is another big one. You know, it can be easy to forget to pay tithes one time or let it slip your mind. But that's important. It's a command. We have to do it. Or even the involvement in the church in general. And that can be anything. We will not profit in anything if we are lazy. And we will not qualify to enter the kingdom of God and the eternal life if we become and remain lazy. So let me ask again. How are we doing since returning from the feast? Has the attitude we experienced just a couple of weeks ago diminished now that we are back to reality? The world can be very distracting, and sin can creep up at any opportunity. And as the world continues in its destructive ways, for example, keeping days that are not endorsed by God, we are faced with making choices to live by what God commands us or to fall victim to Satan's clever tactics. But really, we have two choices. Which one are we going to choose? Don't be fooled. Thinking that we can easily avoid Satan's schemes, it takes effort. Paul talks about this very thing that we all go through. And he understood this. That's why he said it in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 20. Now, Christ also understood this. And he lived as a human being here on this earth. And he went through the same types of trials and temptations that we all go through as well. Paul, who imitates Christ, went through the very same thing. Romans chapter 7, starting verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. And what's interesting about this is, this wasn't a one-time thing that Paul had to go through. As he says in verse 19, the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. He did this often. These are the same types of things, the sins that we may be going through. We shouldn't beat ourselves up so much because it's human nature. We go through it. We will sin every day. We sin all the time. We're not going to be perfect, not yet. But we have to realize what the sin is, and we have to try to better ourselves. See, sometimes we can get to that point where it can cause us to be depressed or bring us to that point that we can bring about laziness, for example. But this is where we have to recognize what we are doing is wrong. That's also where the Holy Spirit works within us. That what we experience at the feast, the joy, the energy, the atmosphere, the friendship, the fellowship, none of that has to change. We can maintain that same attitude we shared, as difficult as it may be to do, especially in this world today. But we can use the knowledge and the wisdom we have. We can look to God for help, and we will be fine. It's very easy to say. We go through these tests, but it's true. I mean, we can look to God for anything, and we will be fine. As long as you have the faith, do so. Remember, you are not alone. None of us are alone. We can keep in contact with each other. Technology today makes it possible. And for our scattered brethren, it doesn't have to be a once-in-a-year kind of thing where we are in contact only during the feast. It's important to have that contact throughout. Communication is a good thing, especially with those of like mind. Now, this reality that we are a part of now is only temporary, and that which is only temporary will eventually lead us to something far greater. And we know that to be eternity. So keep moving on. Continue being diligent. We must work hard physically and spiritually. And in this physical life that we're going through now, when we are diligent in our work, we will profit from it. But the most important thing is how we do spiritually. If we are diligent in that respect, then we will profit in the most important gift which is offered to us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 10 and 11. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.